So hello and welcome to our first teleseminar of 2009. Now, sometimes people start conversations differently. Have you ever heard someone say to you, do you want the good news or the bad news? And you ask yourself, what do you usually choose? For me, I normally say, give me the bad news first because I want to get that over with. And then I could, you know, first, get rid of the bad news, and then you could sugarcoat the rest with the good news. You know, somehow I believe that the good news overshadows the bad, or at least it takes away from what we see as the bad. And I believe 2009 is going to be an amazing year. Or should I say, it's going to be an amazing year, and then I have to say for me, I know that. I guess you should ask yourself that, is 2009 going to be an amazing year for you? Now, of course, this is a personal decision. I want to be clear that perception is reality. Your perception is reality. So what you choose to be your take on what the year is going to be will be your conscious decision on what the year will actually become. Right? You have to think about this for a second. What we, and you probably all have heard and, you know, seen that book, The Secret, that's out there, which, you know, there's some, that's just one piece of people who have been speaking about that concept for years. You know, what we believe we manifest. And now, I want to be clear that it's not some spiritual thing. It really is a reality. Because think about this. What we're aware of becomes more evident, or, you know, what we see becomes part of what we recognize. For example, let's just say you're going to buy a new car, and the car is a Volkswagen Bug, and you're looking at the color yellow. Up until then, you've never noticed that many Volkswagen, yellow Volkswagen, you know, Bugs or whatever the car is. And then all of a sudden, everywhere you turn, that you see this car. You see the same color car. The question is, why does that all of a sudden appear? Is it just because now, coincidentally, that car is all of a sudden on that road that day? Or is it that you start to become more aware of things when you're looking for them or when they're on your radar, so to speak? You know, I think that if we look for good things, we will always find them. If we look for negative things, we will always find them. If we think that the world is filled with gloom and doom, that's the perception we will always have, and we will carry around proverbially a black cloud over our heads, right? So what we need to do is to change our perception, even though at times it's hard, but it takes some mental and spiritual training to do this. Now, without getting too esoteric, all I'm asking you to do is to always think of the positives. So, for example, my staff, we always train my staff to say, if a parent throws a negative at you, you throw four or five positives back at them. For example, if they say, I'm really unhappy about my kid not getting his blue belt, we say, well, we can understand that being something of your concern, but think about this. The longer he stays as a green belt, the better he's going to become, the more self-esteem he's going to develop in the long run, because he's going to realize blah, blah, blah. And you guys all have heard the scenario, so I'm not going to waste your time on what we would say. But we always want to look at every negative with a few positives. Now, for some of us, that seems it's not realistic, and maybe, you know, there's so much going on that it's overwhelming. And this is where I want to segue into my morning. This has been, today was a very hectic morning. In fact, I usually take the entire morning to do my layout for my teleseminar. In order to prepare, I want to be the most impactful and professional always, so I write it, I take a break, I reread it, I correct it, and then, of course, it runs out to about whatever time it is, and then I do it. I usually take the time to think in between, inevitably change my thoughts slightly. What I'm going to say is sometimes stepping and you know, looking at it, and anyway, I tweak it along the way. Anyway, sometimes just stepping away from my teleseminar speech, going and doing something else, walking on my treadmill that I have in my office, and then coming back to it gives me clarity. This morning, though, for example, I want to give you a quick two-minute snapshot of what my life or the life of Ali Albrigo is. And for some of you, this may sound like a walk in the park. For others, you may say that, you know, if it was you, you'd move, sell everything you had and go to Thailand and retire. And don't think for a second that I haven't thought about that. But I've come to the realization that I thrive on this type of stress and environment. Of course, a little bit less wouldn't hurt, but without it, I grow stagnant and bored and miserable. This morning, I was awoken at 7:40 a.m. I normally wake up on my own without an alarm clock. Today was a day that I could have slept in a little, but at 7:40 a.m., for some reason, I was sleeping solidly, which I love. My phone rent went off, my cell phone, and it was my mortgage company, and they asked me, and now I pay 8 different mortgages on all different real estate and so on and so forth. So they were calling to find out why I didn't pay my mortgage. 2 seconds later into the conversation, they apologized for making the mistake, realizing that I did pay my mortgage and I never miss a payment, that I should disregard the call, that it was paid. Of course, I was annoyed to say the least, but I still continued to be nice, and then I hung up the phone and realized that maybe it was just my time to wake up, and I got started with my day. At 9 a.m., I met with my bookkeeper. Then I had my oil company come in for an estimate on heating systems, and that's in my headquarters school. Then my realtor came in to show off some of the real estate space I have available at my headquarters for a rental potential. I then continued with my bookkeeper at the same time analyzing my checkbooks. By the way, one thing you guys should do is always look at your finances and in detail, because today, between my 9 corporations, I just found about $900 in over fees, fluff fees, bank credit charges, and card charges that shouldn't have been there. So I called my bank manager. She fixed it. We cleared it up, called a few of the companies, and we sent, just by watching, we saved ourselves about $900, just inspecting what I expect. I then went on to call my cable representative for my TV commercial flight, meaning that when my TV commercial is running. Then I met with my store manager at my retail store, Atouches N. And, oh, by the way, this is a plug, atouchesn.com. And anyway, now I'm sitting down, or, well, I'm talking to you, but at that point I was doing my call outline. Now, if you could see, I could easily take my entire whirlwind of a life and be frustrated and, you know, hectic and crazy, but I choose to just live my life every single day and try not to let stress wear me down and do me in, because once it does, it creates this kind of analysis paralysis. My suggestion for you later on is I'm going to give you a few steps for a stress-free 2009, or at least to get as close to it as possible. But anyway, I wanted to differ slightly on actually the topic outline, just ever so slightly, of today's teleseminar. And but I'm sure in the end it's going to get to the same points and the same results. I believe that 2009 is going to be outstanding and an outstanding year for me. And, of course, as I said before, if you choose it to be an outstanding year, it'll be so for you as well. Let's talk about the mentality of maximization. You might have heard me talk about this in the past on a few teleseminars. So it's a simple idea, and if you practice it, it'll certainly, without a shadow of a doubt, make your life in an entirely different life. Maximization is simply just taking what you do and doing it better. The simple description makes it sound like common sense, but in reality, it's a bit more complex. For example, if you're marketing 2 hours per week, then find the time to do 4, and hopefully you'll get better results, right? If you're doing 10 hours a week, do 20, and maybe you'll get more results. Sometimes, in a perfect scenario, this philosophy will work. I believe that effort overshadows sometimes people analyzing things. I think that just pure effort will, of course, give you results. But, of course, you have to make sure that what you're doing is not the wrong thing, it's not the worst approach, it's not the bad method, or whatever it may be. You have to put effort or more effort into things, but you have to not spin your wheels. So the first question that I ask, or I ask you to ask yourself, is, are you doing things right within your school? Whatever systems that you have, are the systems in place and are they benefiting you? If it's in there for the sake of just having a system, then get rid of it if it's not giving you any benefits. The only way to determine that something is working is by analyzing and keeping a good track of the results. For example, you've heard me talk about 2-4-6-8-10-week calls. A lot of people have a hard time doing them. Then they slowly institute them, but they do them half-heartedly, so the results are never there. I suggest that if you are not sure of specific systems, if you're not sure of a specific way to do things, find a mentor. Find someone who's more successful in the field that you're looking to master, and then mirror them and ask them for help and then follow up and follow through. Once you have that person, you can most certainly ask them at light speed how you can correct things, because sometimes you're able to see things differently from being outside the box. That's why I said I go back to my teleseminar and I always just take a break and I come back and then I have more clarity. Sometimes just leaving the situation, relaxing, forgetting about it, and then coming back to it, you're able to see things a little bit better. So my first question to you, as a school owner, as an entrepreneur, as a business owner, as a martial art teacher, parent, husband, wife, whatever it may be, what can you do better in your life? What can you change ever so slightly? And what can you enhance and maximize or increase or perfect to get better at? And what are those things that you don't know what to do? And how can you change those things if you don't have the expertise? Well, of course, find someone, find a mentor, call the Member Solutions client services, call a consultant, do a one-on-one call with some of the MSI consultants or myself, and let's look at things. I could tell you sometimes from an objective point of view what needs to be done in the snap of a finger. Now, I'm continually amazed at how many school owners are out there working themselves to the bone every day getting the same results. Seriously, if you're struggling for more than 6 months, not getting the results that you want, you need to make a change. I want to emphasize, you need to, you have to, it's essential. I can't tell you at how many people, I'm amazed at how many people I talk to that have been in business for 15, 20 years and are still struggling. It almost seems like they need to either get out of the business or they need a wake-up call. And most of the time, I believe it's just as little as a wake-up call to get them back. Now, this is not rocket science. If something isn't working, it needs to be fixed. It's like those people who decide to ride home on the flat tire of their car rather than stop, take the time, and fix it or call someone to help you. They'll just ride home. Not only do they destroy the tire, they destroy the rim, they destroy the axle, and then it's huge worth of damage, you know, rather than just waiting and taking the time. It's like those people are in such a rush to get somewhere, they see their needle on E or empty on the car, and then they say they don't have enough time to stop and get gas, and they try to go forward, and they run out of gas, and it takes them 3 hours rather than 3 minutes. Remember, there are always experts out there willing to share. I haven't found one successful person in the industry that wouldn't take the time and share with you if you made the effort of calling them up. I mean, they might not do it every single day, but if you find that successful person and if they're caught at the correct time, they would share with you. They'll give you all their ins and outs. They'll tell you where they've failed, where they've succeeded, and everyone loves to help. In fact, most martial arts school owners, it may be, it could even be a part of their ego. They want to boast a little about how well and how successful they are, and it may look like bragging, but at the same time, maybe it is a little bit of bragging, but at the same time, it's a way of sharing. And hey, listen, I'd love for Donald Trump to tell me all the ins and outs of how I could do X, Y, and Z. If he wants to brag about it and it's going to help me, I'd love to hear it. With that being said, maybe your lack of success is in the minutes and in the details. And if you tweak what you're doing ever so slightly, then the results are endless. Everything is workable if you do the right things, right? Now, I want to give you my view of the state of the martial art industry, and I hope not to ramble a little, but this is an important thing because there's a lot going on. There are a lot of fads that are out there. There are a lot of consulting speaking of different things. And I think for those schools that believe that the martial arts are unique and they're life-changing, this is for those of you who are still teaching the martial arts as a life skill. It's not a sport. It's not a gym. It's not a hobby. It's not a place to burn fat only. For those of you who teach martial arts correctly, it's absolutely life-changing. We need to remember, in order to teach life skills, we have to be ready to dig deep and work hard to get the students and the parents, our clients, to realize that it's as much a dedication to the mental and spiritual training than it is just to the physical training. We need to push the envelope a little bit and communicate and expect the best in our students. There are some that won't accept it and feel pressured by it, but the majority of people, students in the martial arts, are looking for that. The reality is that they want you to be their mentor. And even the parents rely on you to be the expert in how you could help them, but you can't just sit back and think of it as kind of like a business mentality. We have to get back to the roots. We need to get our students, our parents, and everyone, all our clients, to realize that This is kind of that church mentality where it's not the gym mentality. It's a family. We're all in it for the training and the benefits, the organization, and we have to get our clients to understand that they have as much of a duty and obligation to the training and to our school and to the teachers as they do to like a parent or a family member. This is not about I pay you and you give me this in return, because I've said this time and time again, this is not WIFM radio. What's in it for me? It's the old saying, like John F. Kennedy said, that ask not what your country could do for you, but what you could do for your country. Well, let's instill the values that students have to ask what they could do for their sensei, their instructor, their dojo, and that it's a home away from home. Don't think that this is any way self-serving, although the results may come back to you 100-fold as a school owner. The way of the martial arts is by teaching our students that they need to have service before self. They have to have the undying loyalty and dedication. It's not a cash carry society. They pay you $140. They get $140 in lessons. Because I know I've been a student in the martial arts for 41 years that I've always gotten more from my teachers than I could have ever given in payment to them. I had to give back in service by helping, by being a part of the demo team, by being a part of, you know, recommending the school, cleaning, et cetera, et cetera. I know in my martial arts school, I kind of got away from that. I wanted to have a professional school, and I somehow along the years forgot that if I'm not teaching my students that it's their duty to clean, that they're not going to get the value systems that are taught in the school. With that being said, you have to ask, how does the student or the parent help the school owner? Ask yourself, do you do everything yourself? Are you the one-man show? Or if you even have a staff, are they being paid for menial tasks that should be completed by the students? Wouldn't it be a good lesson for at the end of every adult class, at the end of the night, for everyone to grab a broom, a mop, a vacuum, some paper towels and spray and clean the mirrors and the wall? Doesn't that create some sort of bonding and loyalty and giving back, that sense of, you know, service before self? Doesn't that teach them some moral values? Wouldn't it be good to take a class and have the students clean the dojo, you know, and let the parents know that this is how we teach them to clean their room? We all know as adults and parents that if we don't teach our children that they have to clean and we always clean up after themselves, they're never going to know how to take care of themselves and clean their room properly. They're going to grow up as these, you know, prima donnas expecting everything to be done for themselves. And it's kind of sad. So I believe that we have to get that true value system back and ask people for that, again, quote, service before self kind of mentality. And this goes for promoting your school, advertising your school, buddy days, you know, all of that stuff. Students have to realize, you have to educate them that it's their duty to help you grow the school, not so that you could buy a brand new BMW, but so that you could stay in business and continue teaching the values and the morals and the integrity and the martial arts that you do to more and more people. People need to realize that if they don't share the beautiful gem that they have, their martial arts school, with others, that the school will be like the dinosaurs and get extinct, you know, go extinct. We have to educate our clients that it's as much as their job, as long as they're happy, to continually help us grow and spread the word. Okay, let's get back to the idea of maximization. Ask yourself, what are the main facets of your school? What are the areas that you need to focus on? And quickly, here are the three. You could write them down. It's simple. Number one, new students. Number two, existing students, which of course includes retention, perfect attendance, reward systems, you know, things like that. And the third aspect is retail, special events, and upgrading, all in one category. There's nothing more. No matter what people say, there's nothing more within a martial arts school. Now ask yourself, how much time had you or did you spend in 2008 on these three areas? How much time did you put into getting new students in your school? Hours per week. How much effort? How much time did you put into not just teaching classes, exciting and great classes, but, you know, the extra stuff that goes above and beyond to educate and get clients to realize that it's imperative for them to, you know, tell other people, refer you. And then what are you doing to show them that it's above and beyond service? How much time truly are you putting into that? Or are you just assuming because you're a good martial art teacher and you have dynamic classes that people are going to get it? And three, How much focus do you put into the retail? How much talking are you doing about your new T-shirt, your new gi, buying a second uniform, changing fighting gear, whatever it may be? How much are you really concentrating on marketing and putting on the best special events? I mean, special events where, you know, I just went to see the movie The Day the Earth Stood Still in IMAX. I thought it was an outstanding movie, but I kind of left feeling a little empty. I wanted a little bit more. How many times do you do a special event where people leave wanting a little bit more? How many times can we give them that number one show, the most bang-out performance, where they're standing on the edge of their seats applauding and dying to tell everyone about it, recommend their friends, bring their friends with them the next time? You have to ask yourself, what time and effort are you putting into creating the best of the best? And how much time, or if you don't have, you have to get these things immediately, are you putting into upgrading students? What are you thinking about the process of upgrading? With that being said, the three steps, new students, existing students, retail events, there's nothing more. You know, I just recently had a client who asked me how to get more people through the door. I asked him how much he marketed per week. He didn't know, but he responded by saying, I would say, I don't know, about 6 hours. Now, I don't know how 6 hours per week is going to help you grow your business. There are companies out there, big companies like Apple, McDonald's, you know, et cetera, that market 24/7, 365 days a year. There's not a second that goes by that they're not putting into marketing. Billions of dollars in marketing. Now, you might not have a $1 billion budget, but you certainly have time. And I don't want to hear that people go home after 40 hours and they're done with their week. I just recently had a staff meeting with my staff, and they're expected the management to work a minimum of 38 hours. Some of them say to me, well, I can't get it all done in a week. I answer to them, and of course they think I'm a tyrant and a slave driver, I answer to them and say, well, then you're not working enough time because your job is not predicated based on hours and fitting certain amounts of stuff into a certain amount of hours, especially management that are getting paid a salary. Your job is based on getting the job done. And if it takes you 60 hours, then you do it. If you get better at it and it takes you 40, that's great. Most of the time, though, in my case, if they get better at it and they could do a 60-hour work week and a 40-hour work week, I'm going to push the envelope a little and get them to become better at other things so we get more stuff done. You see, in our world, whether it be students, parents, employees, they're always going to work to what they consider to be their threshold. But you know what? A threshold is not entirely true. It's based off of perception. And again, before I said perception is reality, the threshold is what people believe that they can tolerate. And we need to understand that we have to train people, especially our students, especially our employees and staff, especially ourselves as business owners, that what we believe our threshold to be is not entirely true. I'm sure I'll give you a good martial art example. I have students, and let's say do 10 push-ups, and they know they could do 15. They'll bang out the 10 push-ups. But if they think their limit is 15, they're going to go to 15 and stop. At around 10, they're going to start getting jittery and tired because they're believing that, hey, I only got 5 left, and they don't even realize that in their mind their self-limiting beliefs cut them off. And I might yell and stay on top of them and yell over them and say, hey, listen, do one more, push one more, push one more, push one more. Before I know it, they're up to 20, and they've pushed their threshold. Ask yourself what you need to do to push your threshold, and ask yourself, how much time can you put in to grow your school? Quite often when I do one-on-one calls, most people are not willing to do what it takes to become successful. Quite often they're too busy to be successful. You know, when I first started my business, I was working 15, 18 hours a day, 7 days a week. Now, after 18 years, I'm working about 14 hours a day. As I said before, I've done more in one day in 4 or 5 hours than most people do in a day, and I'm going to go pick up my daughter from school, run and visit my dad real quick, and come back and work my desk and teach classes. So anyway, let's continue on. I want to give you another selfless plug, but at the same time, this is highly beneficial to you. Just recently, Member Solutions gave me the green light on an elite consulting program. This consists of a 40-minute call per week, and I know this sounds like an advertisement, but I'm using it as an example to kind of, you know, give you a part of what I think of as a business owner. The cost is not inexpensive in any way, shape, or form to people with that kind of mentality, to people who may be thinking from a vision of or a perception of scarcity or, you know, cutting back an economy. And they may say, when things are better, I'll jump into your elite consulting program. And I always say that this is the most incredibly false statement. For example, I'll use another analogy. When people say to you, I'm going to go and get in shape. I'm going to go to the gym. And when I get in shape, I'll come and join your school. I'm sure you've heard it before. You don't ever see them again because they think that they're going to get in shape. For some strange reason, they've been thinking that for the last 10 years, and they never did. I always say to that client, let's join the school, the martial arts school, and get in shape. Save the money on the gym. Save the wasted time on the, you know, the debating and all that. And let's jump right into it and get involved, and let's take care of the problem and start you on your way to, which I have a slogan in my school, please don't steal this one. It's called Gain the Power to Change Your Life Forever. And now going back to my elite coaching, when people say to me, I really can't afford it right now, I literally tell them that I've taken schools in less than 2 years and quadrupled their bottom line. One client, for example, now is making more in 1 month than they've paid me over the last 26 months. They've paid off everything, and every month they've done nearly, and get this, and I want to say it slowly so you really hear it, 500% increase in their business. So now I ask you this year, 2009, what are you going to do to take your school to the next level? One suggestion is do elite consulting with me. But if not, what are you going to do on the other side? Why wait right now and put off what you could do? You know, set your schedule in, dive in 100%, put in the energy. The philosophy is, you know, the more you do, the more effort, the more rewards you get. Sometimes as business owners, we sit back and we say to ourselves, you know what, business is slow. I always say that, you know, this teleseminar is not the basic bottom line. Do this, do that, step 1 through 5, do, and then most people hear it, they write it down, and they go out, and maybe they get 2 or 3 of the steps done. I want to talk to you about your mentality as an entrepreneur. I want to help you shift your perspective this year. I want to take this year and make the change. I want you to stop listening to how bad the economy is and start thinking about how you can choose not to participate in the bad economy. Think about it. There's still money out there every day being spent in the stock market. Yeah. Some clients of yours may quit. Some clients of mine may stop because they've lost their job. But for every one person out there, there's another one or two out there that have the money that want to spend it on what you have available. The thing is not looking at it as a mass. Let's just find those people. Work harder. Start thinking in how you can choose not to participate. If you want to grow your school, then what are you going to do? What today, right after this conference call, are you going to do to grow your school? If you want to get more students, then what are you going to do to market your school? Hey, listen, even if you went out and did what those stores do when they liquidate and go out of business and hold up a sign and stand out in the street handing out flyers or pay a kid $7 an hour to do it, that's going to gain you some exposure. What are we doing just sitting in our building expecting for us to throw an ad in the paper and hoping that it's work? It's simple. Get the word out there every day. What are you going to do? Shift your perspective and wake up an hour early and hand out flyers, or, you know, take a break instead of eating your lunch in the office or Googling someone on the internet or watching videos on YouTube. Go out and take that time and interview people at the local Stop and Shop or Food Stop or whatever supermarket there is. And, you know, hand out your card. When politicians are looking to become elected, local politicians, they stand out. I have a guy that, you know, a bagel place by me that is packed every morning. So all the local politicians, when they're looking to get elected to office, set up a table and sit outside that bagel place. What would stop you from doing that at your local hotspot restaurant, bagel place, diner, nook and cranny, whatever it may be? I sound a little energized. I'm sorry if I'm a little bit overbearing today. The next thing I want you to do is to reinvent the things that you have that are working that could possibly work better. For example, reinvent your referral program. I have a referral program that always does amazing in my school. I have people who have experienced the same amazing results with my referral program at their schools. Then I have those people who have said, I've used it and it didn't work for them. These individuals have taken my exact program exactly as is, plugged it in, and expected it to work magic, as if I said to somebody, we have the magic pill to get you in shape. All you have to do is come to the dojo and work out, and you're going to get in shape if you eat right. But some people don't put in that effort. They may work out and get a big appetite and eat three cheeseburgers after class, and they're wondering why they're gaining weight, right? Because sometimes the energy that the martial arts, you know, takes creates an appetite, and then they eat more. So they people have to be educated on what needs to be done. So, again, my referral program, sometimes maybe it needs to be tweaked a little. But when they don't get the results, they just abandon ship. They didn't take the ideas and maximize them. And as I said, what can you do to tweak, to enhance, to personalize things to work better for you? Not to say that, you know, it shouldn't have worked. My referral program should work in every school, but sometimes it needs to be tweaked. And if you can't figure out what's wrong, ask someone to help you. Don't abandon ship. It's like saying, you know, the engine or the sails won't work and you're dead in the water. So what do? Jump out of the boat and start swimming? You need to maybe call in or find out why or ask an expert person to be able to help you with the sails. I hope that makes sense. Now, I want to give you a few homework assignments, and then I'm going to open it up because right now I've been talking for close to 35 minutes nonstop and my voice is still going well. I believe that this is your month to journal. I've done an entire seminar on this, so if you want to get into detail, go back and listen to the archived teleseminar. I've done some write-ups on it, so go back into the written archives. Man, do you have an unbelievable library at Member Solutions. It is more than most martial art consulting sites. Of course, taking it to the next level is not like that. But most of those other consulting sites have available for pay. You get for free every month. Some of us waiting for teleseminars to get new information. What you should be doing is going back from the first teleseminar and listening to that information. You should not be driving anywhere in your car for the next 6 months listening to the radio. You should be listening to every teleseminar, every conference thing, and going through that. Because if nothing more, it'll just stimulate you to be the best, you know, you could be for 2009. So here we go quickly. I would hope that you would take this homework assignment and journal everything you do from morning to night, personally, business, etc. In other words, real quickly, you wake up in the morning at 8 a.m., you take a shower, you eat breakfast, you jump in the car, drive to your school, you open the door, you turn off the alarm, you turn on the lights, you turn up the heat, etc., etc. Everything from the minute you wake up to the minute your head hits the pillow. Do that for an entire week if you have the will and the strength. Do it for 2 weeks. Then go back with a three-color highlighter, yellow, green, and pink, and highlight all the tasks that you did for those 2 weeks in those three categories that I gave you before: new students, existing students, and retail, events, and upgrades. And see truly how much you're putting into those areas. How much advertising did you do? How much marketing did you do to get new students, et cetera, right? And now also, too, I want you to look at your journaling as a way to delegate. So you may find out that you spent a lot of time, and I talked to a client the other day, and it was eye-opening for them, where before when I was talking about service before self, where the students should give back, he was spending about 6 to 8 hours a week cleaning his school because it's pristine, it's maintained. And I said, well, why can't the students do that for you? Why don't we give them the opportunity to give back to their sensei? And why don't we teach those moral values that, you know, that we talked about before? And why don't you save yourself 6 hours a week that you could do marketing? And it was eye-opening. You know, so what could you do when you go through your journal and say what tasks, let's say the highlighter, yellow, will be set up for tasks that could be delegated? Or maybe you're finding yourself spinning your wheels in areas that maybe you could outsource. Maybe you're trying to make calls, but you're only doing like 10 of them a day when you should be doing 60. Well, maybe for $7, $8, $10 an hour, you could hire, and you could write this down. You could go to guru.com, or you could go to freelance.com and post an ad, and people will bid from other states. And, you know, maybe a mom who has free time during the day, she has a three-hour window, or at night where her kids go to bed, and she's got expertise in telemarketing, but she doesn't want to leave her kids and go out and get a job. So she'll work from home, and she'll do it for $10 an hour, and she'll make all your calls and set up all your appointments and get things done that you couldn't do. So guru.com, freelance.com, those are two of many sites that have that. You could go to Craigslist and post it, et cetera, et cetera. That's one thing. I suggest that you journal. Very powerful. Second thing is goal setting. Most people do it, but they don't do it in detail. Again, I've done many, many seminars on this. Go back in the archives. But quickly, what I'd like to see you set up a monthly goal, quarterly goals, half-year goals, and then et cetera, going on. You know, of course, a full-year goal. Do you want to raise your tuition by X amount? For example, my superstar elite clients are Chuck and Kara Giangreco from Westchester Martial Arts. If you guys are on the line in a minute, I want you to say hello to everybody. But they've literally quadrupled their business. But they're so amazing because when we do elite consulting, I'll say, listen, guys, let's do this. And bam, an hour or two later, they have an email sent to their clients, or the next day they're up online and it's done. But one thing that I find that, you know, is amazing is that they set their goals. And they said, I want to raise my tuition in the next quarter, the first quarter, by at least $1,800 per month. Billing tuition, right? Not raise the tuition fees, but I want to raise my billing. So rather than us going $1,800 equals, and let's just pretend that it's $100 a month. In their case, it's not because they get top dollar, which is beautiful. So again, back to it saying $1,800 at $100 a student equals 18 students, we look at it and we say, how many upgrades in the Gold program, which is their highest program, how many upgrades in the Black Belt Club, and how much does an upgrade, and let's pretend upgrades are $25 for Black Belt Club, $50 for the Elite program. So we set our goals and say, okay, we need five more people in the Elite, five more people in the Black Belt Club, and that equals X amount of dollars, and then we need seven new students. When we set our goals clearly and we define what we call our MAP, our massive action plan, and we detail each step of the goal, a goal is not like, I want to make $1,800, I want to be rich and famous, one day I want to drive a Ferrari. Well, let me tell you, you could drive a Ferrari. If your goal is to drive a Ferrari, why don't you become a valet? Now, I'm only kidding. But you know what? Think about it. If your goal is to have a Ferrari, and a Ferrari might cost $2,000 a month, then all you have to do, if that's the case, is make $2,000 more a month. When we break it down that way and that's your goal, bam, you have it. But we got to take it and make our massive action plan and break it into small steps. And then we got to take each step and work towards that step so that it eventually creates that goal, and then we have our completed goal. And it's a lot simpler. But we have to ask ourselves, we can't just shoot for the stars and forget that, you know, we're never going to hit it. We got to start building little steps at a time. You know, we can't climb to the top of a mountain without the proper tools. You know, we have to slowly build those. So goal setting is essential. Email me if you want. I'll give you my team leadership character development program that I teach to my children on how to set goals, how to break them down, how to manage your time, how to slice your time. All of that I'll send to you for free, of course. Just email me at Renshi, RENSHILININJA@AOL.com. And if you forget that, just, you know, ask anybody at Member Solutions and they'll forward it to me. Now, the last and final thing, well, not the last and final thing, but one of the last things is a student grid. Real quickly, if you don't know exactly where your students are at every single month, it's like leaving, you know, the baker to manage your entire corporation. You know, this is why in the United States we have run into such a wildly poor economy, because we believe the powers to be to have our best interest in mind. We as business owners believe that our accountant's going to get us out of debt and help us balance our checkbook. We believe that billing companies, not billing companies like our martial art billing company, but like our bill companies like LIPO or electric or water or heat, are going to bill us what they're supposed to and never make mistakes. So we assume we have to always inspect what we expect. And we have to also, speaking of billing companies like Member Solutions, always check and make sure that our contract got accepted, that it went into the proper computer, that a number didn't get changed, that the clients are being billed. We have to audit our billing every month to make sure if there are delinquent payments. We have to make sure that we, not only Member Solutions will call them, but maybe we should tell the parent when they walk through the door that they better make sure that their checkbook is balanced so that they can pay their tuition. So what I suggest is take a student list, if you have 100 students, and write every single student on that page, on that piece of paper. I have a student grid that if you motivate me properly, I'll probably share it with you. So if you email me and ask me, I'll send it to you. But anyway, the student grid should be from 1 to 100 if you have 100 students. You'd say their name, their age, their rank, boy or girl, the sex of who they, male, female, what program they're currently in, how much they're paying. And I promise you that if you just take the time, you, not someone else, or you and someone else, but you have to be a part of it, and look and find out where you're at, with every client, you're going to find, like, holy mackerel, I can't believe I gave that many people a special deal. Or holy mackerel, I can't believe that so-and-so is still on the old rates. Or holy mackerel, I can't believe 100 of our kids quit over the years at the yellow belt level. Or wow, I can't believe that all of these people never came to a special event. With Chuck and Kara, my elite clients, you know, we talked about looking and finding out why people aren't attending special events, and now giving those people special discounts, sweetening the pot, trying to get those people and educating and training them, and so to speak, putting them as part of our culture of people. We sometimes have people that will just pay tuition and never come to a special event. We got to somehow, even if we have to give it to them for free, institute them into that, indoctrinate them into that event so that they like it and they use it. People become habitual, and they say, okay, well, I'll just pay this, and that's it, or I'll never do that, or I don't want to buy a shirt with the dojo logo on it. And the only way we're going to get them to do that is maybe by recognizing first that they haven't, because sometimes we treat the mass of our clients as one general kind of thing. We want to take them and break them down. Real quickly with the student grid, what it's going to do for you, too, is it's going to show you that you have three or four different populations within your school. You have little 3 to 5-year-olds. You have 5 to 8-year-olds. You have 9 to 14-year-olds. Then you have 14 on up to adult, or however you break it down. And every single one of those categories need to be also broken down in male and female, and then you have to market to them differently. For instance, if you have a bulk email that goes out and says that, I don't know, so-and-so is coming in to do the no-holds-barred grappling competition, and you're sending that out to a parent of a 3 to 5-year-old, and those parents are not interested in the martial arts other than for their kids, what you're going to do is train them not to listen. They're going to start getting these emails. Sooner or later, they're going to start hitting delete, and no matter what you send to them from then on in is going to fall on deaf ears. So you need to market to your clients and to who they are. For example, with a lot of my elite clients, I'll say to them, what are we doing to appeal to our 3 to 5-year-olds? What are we selling? What kind of special shirts? What kind of special toys? What kind of special gear? What kind of special events? Mommy and Me, kick pad seminars, Stranger Danger classes. And why don't we just market to them as they were one population of our studio? For example, in my school, I just put 2 of my staff on what we call our birthday coordinators. I realized that about 3 years ago, we did about 68 parties, birthday parties in my school, totaling about maybe $35,000 in income to my school. Of course, not net, but gross. And I realized, like, holy mackerel, I'm pretty much running a birthday party business there. All I got to do is bump that up, and that could be a lifestyle for me, running birthday parties. So I asked myself, what could we do to make that better? And, of course, hopefully from the birthday parties we get new students, so it's just a win-win. But we need to look at those segments of our school. We need to break it down and find the DNA. And, of course, this is what I do when I do elite consulting with you guys. I'll take it down and figure that out for you, because I know right now most of you, probably your head is swirling, going like, this guy doesn't shut up. He talks so fast. He's from New York. He's got all these ideas, et cetera, et cetera. But I think that it's essential that we make sure to look at the things clearly and make sure that we do the things the right way. So far, does that make sense? And I'm going to ask Kathy, because I'm going to take a quick break and drink a little bit of tea. So let's open the lines for any questions up until now on whether it be online or live. Are we there?
Okay. We are. We've got the phone lines open. I don't see any questions on the web as of yet, so why don't we start on the phone lines?
Anybody out there that want to ask? I'm going to give it a whole pregnant pause here and just sit for a second. I want to draw it out in you. Come on, give me a break. Give me a question so I can drink my tea for a second. Just kidding. Okay, I guess not. I must be doing a good job. I take that as a good thing. So real quickly, the next thing after the student grid that I want to give to you, because this was a no-stress seminar, right? We were trying to learn how to not be stressed and get rid of the stress and live without stress. And I probably just, while doing this seminar, you're probably saying, this guy just created a mound of stress. He's making me think about all these things. He's giving me all this stuff. He's like, holy mackerel, you're just going to give me a heart attack. Well, anyway, here's a few things. This year, meaning 2008, in December, on my Christmas break, and I got my laptop out, and I wrote a list of I hate things. My list said I hate, and then I had a list from whatever it was until I could just stop writing. I think my list had like 45 things on it. So I wrote things like, and I don't even want to fire up my laptop, but it said stuff like, I hate when bill collectors call me on a Sunday, or I hate when students take advantage of my good nature, or I hate when my staff doesn't produce as much as I believe they should do, or I hate when when I send out an ad and it doesn't work, or I hate when a parent comes to me and whines that their little kid didn't get a blue belt, or I hate when when we work really hard in our school and people don't recognize all that we put into things, or I hate when people just think that I'm in it for the money and all it is about tuition because they pay me $140 a month. They think that $140 gets stuffed into my pillowcase, and et cetera, et cetera. And this could go in your personal life, in your business life. And then you know what? From that, it's not just about venting, although just getting it out on paper and saving it on the laptop is good. But then you want to look back, maybe take a few days of clarity, let it sit. You could even go back and add to it if you forgot things. But I would go back to the I hate list and then start finding out what you could do to correct it. So for every reason of hate and action, there has to be a reaction. There has to be a solution. Because if you're just going to live a life, which we all do, where people are like walking time bombs, where they have a high cholesterol because of the stress or whatever it may be, and they're going to die of a heart attack, and one day they explode. I was just talking to one of my staff members. I believe the name of the movie was called Falling Down with Michael Douglas. And when one day, I think his wife left him, and he's driving in his car, and he freaked out, and he ended up shaving his head and going and getting a firearm, and he just goes out, and he's like lost it. Because all these years, it just manifested inside of him, and one day he snapped, you know? So you got to ask yourself, what do you hate? What do you do? And then what could you do to eliminate or change those things in your life? Right? Think about that. If there's something that you don't like and it's continually gnawing at your side, you need to fix it. If it was, I'm going to use something really ridiculously silly, but, every time you walk through a door, something swung down and hit you in the head, rather than trying to learn how to avoid it, which could be a good martial art lesson as well, but why don't we just remove that obstacle? Why don't we remove that thing? And even at times, we have to remove it because even if it's, you might think of it as something that's not being capable of being removed, sometimes you have to get it out of there so that you could think clearly. And when we think from a mind of clarity, we're able to function better. We're able to breathe easier. We're able to do so much better in life and be more successful. So start with an I hate list, and then the yin and the yang, which my mom, and this is funny, I just want to say it, my mom's 71 years old, she said to me, the cheech and the chong, and I was like, what are you talking about? She said, you know that circle with the squiggly line? So she thought it was called cheech and chong. I don't know where she even got that from, but I told her I was going to tell everybody that. Anyway, the yin and yang, the positive and negative, we want to now write things that you love. What do you love in life? Do you love spending time with your family? Do you love going to the movies? Do you love reading a book? Do you love going to fancy restaurants? Do you love just walking in the park, taking a hike? Because quite often on that list, first of all, it's going to be a lot less, I'm sure, than your I hate list. But all the I love things, you got to start doing them more. Isn't that what life is all about? Isn't it about experiencing those things? Quite often, there's that old saying that on your deathbed, you're not going to ask that you worked harder and longer. You're going to wish that you had spent more quality time with your family. And quite often, sometimes we pass on not doing the things that we loved. And, you don't have to be rich and famous to do all those things, because most of the time, all the rich and the fame and the wealth is a small portion of getting to the things that you love. And we sometimes work our butts off as dads and moms work all day because they want to build a good life for their family and they want to have all the nice things and they want their kids to experience all the things they never experienced, like a big screen TV and lush and lavish toys and nice clothes and the best school. And you know what? Later on when those kids grow up, you know what they say? They say, I just wanted to spend more time with my dad. I could care less that he was driving around in a BMW. All I wanted to do was spend time with him. All I wanted to do was see my wife more, you know, and quite often we work so hard to have the greatest things and then our relationships break up because, you know what, we didn't take the time to nurture that relationship. Really, it doesn't mean money and fancy things. And if it does, it's not the right relationship anyway. So now write down the things that you love on the yin and yang side of the things that you hate and work towards putting more of them into your life. You know, right away you might not be able to take off 3 days a week, but maybe that's your goal. 3 days a week with your family, or one weekend a year to go camping, or, you know, 7 mini vacations. Last year, I set a goal of doing 20 mini vacations. I was able to get 16 in. And that consisted of a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or a Saturday, Sunday going to my house upstate, or visiting my friend in New Hampshire, Joe Gallia, with Kathy, or going to visit my buddy in Virginia. And, you know, taking that time. And, you know, most of the time I could have often said, I'm too busy. I should be doing X, Y, and Z. But you know what? When I got back from my trip, I was more recharged. I had more energy. I kind of felt a spiritual uplifting feeling because I was able to do the things that I wanted, you know? When I was in Bermuda, I've been traveling. I have a dojo in Bermuda that I own for 13 years. I've just started over the last 2 years playing golf, which I'm really not at all that good at. But I've never played golf in the golf mecca, Bermuda. Well, this last time when I was there, I said, there's no way I'm coming to teach unless some of you guys bring me out to play golf in Bermuda. And I did. That was on my list of my mini training vacation. I go and teach, and then I enjoyed myself, which is just unbelievably powerful. So, last but not least, you need to take time sometimes to reinvent yourself. Can you add on, fix, revitalize, change the programs, the systems, your upgrade stuff, your referrals, your marketing, your lifestyle, your time put in? Can you go to the gym? Can you make 2009 a better year? You know, this is what you need to take time thinking about. And there's so much to do, not enough time, but I'm hoping that if you have a problem, you'll email me. I'm hoping that maybe some of you guys are interested in taking that step. And I promise you, and I'm hoping that Kathy agrees with me, I'm willing to give everybody, and to check this out, 100% money-back guarantee that if you don't get the results on the Elite Consulting, that you get your money back. And just to make that even clearer and make you feel more comfortable, I'm willing to, and I guess we just got to work out the details with Member Solutions, that we could hold the money in escrow that you're paying every month until the program is over, which is a 4-month investment of your time. Only 4 months, a minimal investment. Financially, maybe in your eyes you might say, like, wow, that's a big nut, but I promise you that I could take whatever money that you're investing into the Elite Consulting, and we can make at least that much money back within the first 2 months. As long as you listen, work diligently, hard, and I want to use this word, really kill yourself to become a success in 2009. And I will work tirelessly as a consultant to help you do that. All you have to do is email me, and I'll call you. I want to call you and do a free one-on-one 20-minute phone call to show you guys how that if you invest 4 months of your time and that amount of money, that you're going to change your life forever. And trust me, it works. And if you don't believe me, I'll give you, you know, testimonials or a phone number to some of my Elite Consulting clients. And I'm just so excited to help everyone in 2009. And my voice lasted. I'm happy. You know, here to Member Solutions, you know, I think they are the best billing company, but also they are by far the most complete company ever with software and consulting and one-on-one coaching. I can't see how a person in the world would ever consider going anywhere else. So you guys are lucky, and, you know, really take advantage of all that you have that they have to offer for you. Take advantage of that.